Okay, well, welcome to another episode of Single Mommy Fabulous. Today, we're going to be talking about reinventing your career. And when I think about reinventing my career or just a career in general, just the things that come to mind are when you start to feel stuck, which is common. You love your career, but you want more. Maybe you want a promotion, or maybe you don't really want a promotion, but you want to know more and be more specialized. And one of the big things, especially with COVID, is that industries are changing all over. I mean, the biggest one we can think of are all the service industries and all the changes that they had to make quickly. So just thinking about our career and how it's going to change as a result of this pandemic. Adrian, I know we talk a lot about our careers and things that we've done. What has this been like for you? I mean, I know that your career changed a lot because you were here in California and then you went to Georgia, and almost everybody's working from home, but this is really a big change for you.
It kind of is. When we moved, so we moved in April 4th, I want to say it was, or 5th, something like that. So at the time that we moved, I had already been remote for a month, I guess. And then prior to that, so prior to COVID, I was already doing like 2 days a week at home. So it didn't change drastically, which I'm grateful for, because I don't think I could have handled that big of a move plus something going on with my job and all that at the same time. So I was very grateful that it didn't change a lot. But I will say, in the transition, I was thinking about maybe making a shift and doing something different. And I think that was just out of sheer overwhelm, and thinking, you know, that feeling out of control in the situation, and thinking, well, that's the one thing I can control, you know, even though nothing was wrong, but I still felt like I needed to do something. Thank God I did not. Because I think that would have been a mistake. But but I did have those thoughts, like, well, maybe this is too hard. Maybe I should find something here. Maybe I should do something else entirely, you know. And then I thought about it and talked.
What did you want to do completely different from what you're doing now?
I don't even know. Oh, well, honestly, the thought of, don't laugh at me. The thought of being a paralegal crossed my mind. I have always enjoyed law and that kind of stuff. That's the only A I got in college was business law. So I considered that for like 3 seconds. And then my mom kind of talked me off the ledge and was like, you have a perfect situation.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm going to stay here.
Well, there's that.
You know, thank goodness for people that can see things you can't.
That's often how it happens, though. You can't see it. I mean, I think my mother's the exact opposite. She's like, you're wasting your brain. why aren't you moving? And I don't know what keeps me from moving forward sometimes. I think that this time in my life is the time that I'm actually more willing to step out on the ledge. I think it comes down to fear. I have a fear of change. I mean... Mm. When you and I started to talk about even just starting this podcast, that was a year in the making. And a year prior, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I wanted to talk about. And I still was like, And then it honestly took COVID to push me into, hey, here, this is the perfect time. You have the time. You have the headspace. Do it.
And me nagging you a little bit.
And you nagging me. Thank you very much. I appreciate the nagging. because I mean, I love this podcast. I think that this is one of the best things I've ever done with my life, to be honest, because it gives me that creative outlet. You know, I'm a creative person. I was a major, my major was English with writing emphasis. So my passion is, you know, creating. But I don't think I could do it full time for somebody else. I don't think that that's would never be a career move I would make. But I do know that now I'm like, I'm looking at schools and I'm saying, okay, what do you want to do with your life when you grow up? And, you know, what I come to is I want to be in social services and I want to get out of what I'm doing, because it is social services, basically what I've been doing for the last 7 years, except for it's just, you know, it's like social services on the administrative side where you're not, even though you get the reward at some, in some senses, you're not getting the full reward that I would like to do. I would like to, you know, in the end, I would like to be a marriage and family counselor and really get to help someone on a personal level, because that's the kind of person I am. You know, like I sit there and I worried about when I was working in housing, I would be worried about whether or not the person with bed bugs finally got rid of them. And because the, you know, management wasn't getting to it fast enough, and I would hear from them day after day. And there was not really, you know, it felt great when it was over because I could see the paperwork come through, but I didn't hear from the client necessarily ever again, right? So at least with, if you're sitting there counseling somebody or something, you get the, okay, I'm done, I'm cool. You know, like, and so I think that that's something that I would enjoy, because for some reason I love other people's problems, which is...
You do.
I know, right? It's weird.
You do. Not a bad thing, just saying.
Not a bad thing. And as I was telling Katrina, as we have a wonderful guest, Katrina here, she's our HR for professional, and I was talking to her before Adrian got on, and I said that my career changes crisis to crisis. So when I lost my job in the early 2000s to, I was an insurance agent, which has got to be the most unrewarding career ever. Like, it's terrible. I'm not saying that people aren't good at it and they don't love it, but for me, I'm selling you disaster, right? Like, I'm like, hey, you know why you need insurance? Because you might flip your car over and you need all the insurance you could possibly have in case this happens. So, you know,
I cannot picture you doing that at all.
Oh my, you know, it got bad. It was really bad. One time my mom and I walked into a store and I'm pointing out, because I was in commercial insurance, I'm pointing out all of the problems and all the safety issues and what I could see the insurance agent, what their insurance adjuster would say if somebody fell over in their store, you know, it was like, oh my God, I was quoting insurance law. I needed to change, and I wasn't going to leave it because it pays well. I got pushed right out of it by pure circumstance, which was good, you know. And then I got here, back to California. I was a security guard for a couple of months while I was heavily pregnant. That was fun.
Oh my God. Don't mess with the pregnant woman.
truly, we are mama bears about everything, whether the kid's out or not.
Oh my goodness.
And then I finally landed a job in San Francisco in housing, which it really gave me a clearer sense of who I am. Just being there and knowing that helping people made me happy. And then I moved out of that career for a better opportunity that didn't really work out because of the pandemic. And now I'm helping people with their benefits. And it's challenging because people take advantage of the system and you get very invested in not allowing that, which is never a good thing. I have anxiety at night sometimes. So I know that in some senses, this is not where I need to be. It's where I'm at because it means that I get to eat. It means that my daughter goes to school. It means I can pay my car note. But to literally have anxiety when you come home because you're afraid that you made one little mistake is probably not the ideal situation for your life. So I at least I recognize that. So I'm proud of myself for that one.
Right. And I've had moments like that too. Like when Isaiah was a lot younger, you know, because I was a lot younger and a lot more unskilled.
Yes.
In those days. So it was kind of like I had to take what I could get as far as work, you know, and I've worked many a job. A job. And you know, being in those positions where it's like, you know, you have to, I remember I did well, this was later on, but I was I don't even know what you call the position, but I was working for a title company where, you know,
that's where I raised your sister.
Yeah, right. So I think I was at First American or something. Uh-huh. You'd receive the documents and then you'd have to turn them around in 24 hours because of the lock expiration or whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So, you know, we'd receive them, we'd have to make a whole bunch of copies, send a whole bunch of stuff to the lender, pack it up and send it off, you know. Yeah. And it was the type of job where you had to stay till it was done. So sometimes I'd be there 14 hours, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And it's just like, and then you go home and then you can't sleep because you're thinking like, oh my God, did I send the deed?
Yeah. Yeah.
I typed the name wrong on the deed. Like, oh my God, like just crazy stuff. You know, those are horrible, horrible positions to be in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. It seems like every job has stuff that we love about it and stuff that is not our favorite.
Yeah.
And yes. It's, you know, it's kind of like when the scale tips too far one direction, like, okay. The cons outweigh the pros. It's not the right.
Exactly. And when I had that job, I had already graduated from college, but we were in the recession that everyone said was not a recession back in 2010. But after having that job, I became way more serious about finding a job in accounting. Like I was way more diligent because at first I just was kind of scared because I'm like, I don't have experience. I don't really know what I'm doing. I've only had one sort of bookkeeping gig before, and it's like, I don't want to get hired somewhere. And then they just figure out that I'm a fraud and then I get fired and it's over, you know? So I just never kind of pushed. But when that job, I was like, I have to get out of here or I'm going to jail or something because this is terrible. It was terrible. And then you had the people in there like fighting all the time and everybody was yelling at each other because it was high stress and
They're
trying to make as much money as possible. And
I've forgotten all about the stress of the title job. Really?
Yeah.
It has been a while. Fought a lot. I made a lot of people cry because I'm always like sticking up for people. So I'm sure Anitra told you how many people I made cry.
Oh yeah. And then I was just like, I love Nicole. Not because of that, but just like,
yeah.
She sticks to your guns. I love her.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what I attribute my, like, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. And I think we've talked kind of about balancing your dreams and the keeping a roof over your head and eating and how sometimes we've chosen to delay dreams, defer them because we wanted to eat and we wanted this roof over our head. And honestly, this opportunity is like, I know it sounds crazy that I'm calling COVID an opportunity, but it really is for people who have lost work or transitioned into another job or whatever their their current situation is, because life's a little slower, it gives you an opportunity to kind of reevaluate where you're going. I mean, I know that it has done that for me. I'm still balancing my eating with, I call it just eating because I eat a lot, but I really think that looking into where you want to go right now is a great idea, because there are so many opportunities to just like get a certificate in what Google IT, they have it online, all of this stuff that's like $39 to join, and or $50 a month. And that's a lot in some cases, but it's worth it. It's well worth it to just kind of better yourself at this time instead of wallowing. I think that I wallowed for about a month and a half, and that was horrible. I got this job. What's funny is I went from this high elation when I lost my job at the beginning of COVID. I had applied for 22 jobs, probably the first day that I knew that I was laid off. I contacted my job back in San Francisco because I'm in civil service and you can sometimes go back to your job. So I did all of that. And then a week later, it hits me that I have no job. And I'm just like, oh, no job. Okay. And it hits you that you, and because in American culture, we are so tied to our career. It sometimes defines who we are. And so we have to learn to balance the fact that sometimes things are not going to go according to plan in our careers and pivot and do something else. And just embrace that. I mean, I know that in some companies, I remember when I got laid off from the insurance company. God, I can't even remember the year. But I got laid off from the insurance company, and they offered a, you know, they gave me a severance and they gave me career counseling, and I didn't take it. Right. I'm like, why? And now that I'm older and wiser, I go, why didn't I take that career counseling? So anyone listening to this, if you got career counseling in your severance package, take it. It's a great idea. It's not going to hurt you. You can go once and say, I don't like it, but at least allow yourself the opportunity to see if there's something bigger, better, and brighter out there for you. So, I mean, that was my little advice. Do you have anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll chime in and say, absolutely, those services are expensive, and they're, you know, you put them in there because employers want to help people look forward, you know, to what's the next thing. And it's really healthy and it's really helpful. Even if you don't figure something specifically out, just beginning that mental process, you know, and there's good ones and bad ones too, but just the pure process of like, okay, let me be forward thinking here. Let me pull myself out of the shock of, oh my gosh, I don't have a job, to, okay, so now what? So yeah, I would definitely recommend. Yeah. My husband got laid off recently, and they offered that, and I'm like, he already kind of had an idea of what he wanted to do, and I'm like, I don't care. You give him a call, you go through that process, just find out. You never know. And if I said, if nothing else, you know, you might create some networking opportunities. You know, maybe somebody knows somebody or can connect you, and that's totally worth it, whether it turns into something or not, in terms of a job.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's kind of what that article, so we were reading an article called Reinventing Your Career in the Time of Coronavirus by, I'm gonna butcher this, Herminia Ibarra, I think. So sorry if that is wrong, I'm sure it is. And she talks about a lot of these things in here. And she has kind of, you know, pieces of advice that she lays out. The first thing she talks about, I called it like diversifying yourself. Words that she used was develop many possible selves. So I'll just read what she, this little piece, what she wrote. When you don't know what the future will bring, or when the path you thought you were on takes an unexpected turn, it makes sense to pursue a diverse portfolio of options rather than just sticking single-mindedly to one. So like, this is a good time to like figure out, what do you even like? Sometimes we're in our career so long and, you know, we're so good at it, you know, and it's what we know and we could do it in our sleep, you know? When you become untethered to that, right? It's kind of like you don't think of doing anything else because that's what you do, you know? So it's like in the time of COVID, we have all this downtime. Most of us do anyway. You know, so take the time to like to really think, like, you know, who might we want to be, you know, and think of multiple answers, not just one. The next thing she said was embrace the in-between period. So in between your past that is over and your future that is uncertain. So in that time, that lull time, you know, use that to be still and think and plan and strategize and come up with ideas or do a ton of self-care because more than likely you weren't doing it before COVID. So, you know, use that time wisely. The next thing she said is, and I'm totally assuming the author is a she, my bad, where is she? Spend some of your time on projects you have started over the years that you never finished. In my meditation group that I'm in on Tuesdays, the woman that runs it, Kirsten, hey Kirsten, she said that she, over the years, she loves Christmas cards. And so she collects them all every year. And the goal was to put them in an album for each year. And she started and life, and they've been sitting in a bin for years. And she just pulled them out 2 weeks ago and got them a little more organized. And she got 3 years worth in an album. Like, you know, even though it's little, but I think the point is, you know, when you lose your job, especially a job that you like or that you really wanted to stay in, you kind of get lost. So just the act of completing something, mm-hmm. you know, will still make you feel productive, and it'll still make you feel like you're part of something, even though it's not what you really want to be doing, but it's something, you know. So there's that. What was next? Oh, and the next thing was networking. You know, it's a little difficult during COVID because we have the distance and all that kind of stuff. But there's got to be a way, you know, maybe call up, you know, those friends that you haven't talked to in 6 months for whatever reason, or maybe you still have contact information from an old manager that you loved once upon a time, you know, like maybe reach out. Why not? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's worth a try.
My former manager just told me that the opportunities above where I was when I was there are coming up again. So it's a test that you have to take, but it is worth contacting someone you knew.
Totally. Totally.
You never know. You never know what you're
doing. You really don't ever know. Oh, and then the last thing is, whatever it is that you're thinking about doing or you're thinking about trying, you know, talk about it with other people. There's a saying that we kind of say in our family. It's like, you know, if you can say all day, you know, I'm a nice person, you know, and it's like, well, who else says that about you? Because maybe you're not, you know what I mean? So if you're thinking, oh, you know what? I wanna be the next Evel Knievel or whatever, you know, maybe talk to your people and then maybe they'll say, you know what, maybe that's not in your wheelhouse, or you know what, you should go for it. Like, that's an excellent idea. You know what I mean? Like, just talk it out with someone other than yourself, because sometimes we like to tell ourselves a whole bunch of stories that do and don't make any sense.
Well, I think that's the thing, Adrian, is that when we are just in our own brain, you know, it's almost like it's almost like you're in a dream state.
Yes.
And things don't always connect. And so when you actually have to put it together and say it to somebody else, you're like, okay, yeah, they didn't really make a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Wait.
No, it's so true, because I've done that so many times. And then it's just like, you say it out loud and you're like, okay, so I didn't quite think that through. I think that's not a good idea. They end the article with, it says, in the end, when it comes to reinventing your career in this time of crisis, remember this important point. The time to get going is now, but don't go it alone. I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's good.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had some, you know, some additional thoughts, you know, on all of that too. Like, I was thinking about, as you were talking about the multiple selves piece, Adrian, that,
yeah.
I mean, even Nicole, when you're talking about your past jobs and things, you know, we're all great big tapestries, right? That we keep adding additional threads to, that are constantly creating this evolving, beautiful thing that is who we are. And our there's lots of different ways that that can go. And even like talking about pursuing those projects, you know, I think those are reflective of things that for some reason it prompted a passion in you. Like, that was something that was important to you. And so keeping in touch with those things that you enjoy doing and finding the time to do them, I think helps with your own self-discovery as well. And I think that it's important to do that during times of transition. You know, right now, like you said at the top, Nicole, things are changing, and change creates opportunity. You said that you follow the crises when they happen, but really what you're really doing is following the opportunities that change, which sometimes are brought about by traumatic things, but it's still something that can create a new opportunity. And, you know, that's true for not just individuals, but companies are going through that. Organizations are realizing that and feeling that. So I think it's important that everybody kind of view it that way. It's like, hey, it's okay. Change is hard, but it's okay. It's healthy and it's normal. To not change is not normal. So I think, you know, one thing that's important to realize as you're evaluating, you know, things that you, if you do think you want to make a big shift, you know, you want to go back and become a paralegal, right? They often say, you know, a lot of the advice, the career advice, is that you either, you know, kind of stay in your same industry or related, you know, industries that you've worked in, and then look for like a totally different job. I know this industry, but I can do a different kind of job that's related to that. Or vice versa, you can kind of do the same job, but transfer those skills to a new industry. So like for you, if it was a paralegal, well, maybe you go looking for a law firm that works with clients or in a sector industry that you already know about, right? So that's something that, you know, is helpful, I think, to do. And I think, you know, the other thing that's one of the cool things I think that's come out of COVID is that, Nicole, when we first jumped on this Zoom call, your daughter, you know, is climbing on top of you, crashing your, you know, Zoom background. And I think that there is a lot more, I guess, a sense that people are whole people, like we haven't had before, you know, like your boss or, you know, the companies. We've had an insight to the wholeness of people's lives that we haven't really had, at least not ever in my working life. And it's a little bit uncomfortable at first, but now it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of cool that we realize that so-and-so has, you know, a dog and that, you know, you have a kid and what your house looks like. And, you know, you can see pictures and whatever, you get to really see people more. So I think that that's kind of a cool byproduct of COVID as well, is that we are more open to realizing that we are whole people. Yeah. And we have other interests. So, but on that same note, you know, when you actually do look to go interview for a job, if you have to do it virtually, you know, first impressions still matter. Yeah. It's still important to put your best foot forward. And unfortunately, there still is bias, you know, that happens. So, you know, especially as moms with kids, it's demanding. You know, women have been the hardest hit by COVID-19 because they're all opting to, somebody's gotta, you know, help with the kids, right? Yeah. And so there's still, you know, potential for bias out there. So it's important to be aware and you know, kind of be a little bit careful about that. And then, you know, I think it's important to be, if you do decide to make a job change right now, it's crazy. Onboarding new employees is so hard. It's so hard to do. And we all did it, you know, if we were working during that time, you know, we figured everything out. It was this huge scramble and things were crazy and things didn't work well. And you know, I mean, talking to some service provider and they're like, I'm so sorry, I'm trying to do this for my home phone and I don't have service. I'm like, that before. Yes. So everybody had to all figure it out and how to do it. But for new employees, how do you get them set up? You know, and so there's some organizations are not, don't have it figured out. And that's really important that if you do make a job transition, that you make sure that that employer has a game plan figured out. And if they don't, you better start asking some questions and know how it works. You know, if it's 100% remote job, like, what are they providing you to help facilitate that? And how does that work? Yeah.
So I think that's a good point, because I think that's one thing I know that I struggled with. Just being remote, like, you know, my supplies or certain software that I need to do my job, or at least do it more efficiently. I don't need it, but still, it's like, if I want this software, like, do I buy it myself or does PCG, you know what I mean? Because it's something that can stay on my computer forever. So then it's like, you know, you have to ask those questions, like, what is coming with this package, you know?
Do you know what the number one item that was requested by employees when we all went remote? Printer. Printer.
Are you kidding?
Everyone's like, oh my God, I need a printer.
Like, and that was a thing. Like, I did not think to ask for any of those things. Mm-hmm. It never crossed my mind. I took a bunch of supplies when I, you know, when we moved, because remember Justin, that was the office. He ordered so much stuff. We still have all that stuff from what he ordered way back in the day, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll take some staples and I'll take sticky notes and stuff like that. But I did not think, it never crossed my mind to even ask like for all these other things. And until I saw something, I don't know if it was an expense reimbursement or it was something that I saw. And I was like, ooh, I could have asked for that. Like that's, I could have.
Yeah. Like, well, and you know, some businesses, you know, they're just doing this on an interim basis. It's not a long-term thing, but some companies are choosing to like formalize policies around, you know, ongoing remote work. So you got to know, is this like, is this your short-term thing? Do you have long-term plans?
Yeah.
You know, make sure you know, Yeah. And that should come into play about like figuring out what your compensation is too, you know, like, are you, you know, if you're 100% remote, are they paying for your expenses if you, when you need to come, you know, occasionally to the office, right? Are they,
or, and we have a, and we have a client that they reimburse for internet and the phone bill, because the employees have to use their cell phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Before, you know, right. So yeah, ask those questions, guys.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing that I'll say about, you know, that too, kind of looking out for yourself to a certain degree on all of this is about compensation, you know, because there's a lot of businesses that got hit hard.
Come on.
So I think this is all interim, you know, we're gonna, things are gonna come back. So I think it's really important to make sure you hold your ground about what you think you're, you know, you should be paid in whatever job that you're going for. Because it's really hard to, once you're in the job, it's really hard to move very far, very fast in terms of pay. I mean, you could do something where it's a staggered, you know, like I'll start at this amount, but like next year I need a bump to this and then a bump to, you know, and make sure you get it in the offer letter. But yeah, make sure you maintain competitive pay. Don't shortchange yourself. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are just happy to have a job.
Right.
We are going to come out of this.
That is true. Yeah, that's important.
That's that's a very good point, because I took a giant pay cut to do this job that I'm doing now. And it was a calculated risk. I just knew that the pandemic unemployment, the extra $600 was going away. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, okay, if I take this job, I'll be able to pay my bills. And so I did it knowing that this was a stepping stone. And honestly, it was like my little foray into like kind of like an HR type thing. Because if you know about how unemployment works, you can, you know, if you decide you want to go into HR, that's great. That's a bonus. That was kind of like, that was my motivation. Like, because at one point I really wanted to go into human resources. I have since decided I'm not a human resources person, but
you know, I was thinking, oh, you're like, when you were talking, I'm like, oh, she's like me. I like fixing stuff. I like helping in the crisis.
Yeah, no. And
HR.
Yeah. My sister is one of the greatest HR people in the whole wide world. I don't mind saying it. And so she's older than me, and she's been a huge, huge reason that I am successful, because she will be like, okay, well, you could do that, but you could do this, and you should do this, and think about this, and, you know, things that I don't necessarily take into account, she'll tell me. Or she's the person who gave me my first job and said, oh no, you can't wear jeans to an interview. Oh no, you can't wear that. You need to look like this. Don't have your hair all over your head. Don't, you know, just the little things that, as I was a teenager, so what did I know, right? But because she was there at the beginning of everything, I feel like I've been a lot more successful at getting jobs when it was that time, because she had always been there to coach me on how to interview and what to do and how to look at a job listing and make your resume fit that job. You know, if you have the experience for the job, you need to let them know, and you need to know them, let them know quickly. And, you know, these are things that people don't necessarily know, that I feel like, hey, I got an insider. Cool.
Yeah, that's really good advice. You know, I think you know, people who do the big blanket send out all my resumes kind of thing, I'm like, that's a big waste of time. You know, it's very much, I think if there's something that interests you, you do your research, you figure out what's the deal with the company, and you tell the story about how your story aligns with why that makes sense in your path. You know, how to, what does that look like in your tapestry with all of your, you know, different pieces of crazy yarn that might be in there, right? How does this one fit? How does that look? And if you have that story down, and, you know, Adrian talking about in the article where they said to don't go it alone and to talk to other people, that's where it will make, and people will help be a mirror to you to help see if that makes, does that story make sense? Does this opportunity, even if it's a completely different from what you've done before, there's going to be some connection somehow to you, whether it's something that you've done somehow or a project that you helped on that had nothing to do specifically with your job, but that you helped with in a company, or a passion that you have, you know, those projects you're working on or whatever, or the class that you, like you were talking about, Nicole, that you sign up and take during COVID. All of it is fits in somehow into your journey, and having that good story is really good.
Okay, so my shameless plug is that Katrina and I work for a glorious company called Pacific Crest Group that is in San Rafael, I almost said San Mateo, gosh. San Rafael, California, we operate out of, but we service clients all throughout the Bay Area, you know, from Marin County down to San Jose. So, yeah, I'm in accounting, Katrina's in HR, we do it all.
Yeah.
Accounting, HR-related services, the only thing we don't do is bookkeeping. But I think if you're in need of these services, you know, small business owner, or if you work at a small business and you know that these services are needed, you can totally reach us at 415-461-2586. And we are waiting to help because we love to do that.
Full time. We have a fantastic company. Love working with Adrian, and, you know, with COVID, that a lot of small businesses are actually really interested in benefiting from the type of the approach that Pacific Crest Group takes to HR and accounting.
Very true.
And now I know what Adrian does.
Yay!
Had no idea after all these years.
I know, we literally have almost never talked about it.
That's because we're too busy dissecting the entire world.
It is something that I enjoy. So I think when Kalia gets a little older, I think I'm going to go back and get my master's in forensic accounting.
Totally.
Yeah, right? Like, I think that will fit well.
I love it. Go, Adrian.
Woo-hoo! So maybe, let's see, she's almost 11. So maybe in a few years. You know, she gets kind of settled in high school. I might do it.
So I want to thank you guys for sharing with us about your company and what your services are. I think that they are useful services, especially for small businesses. Someday, maybe I'll start one, but that's a while. That's way off. That's after I become a counselor and have, you know, have to hire like a, you know, receptionist, somebody to do my billing and all that good stuff, you know, because I think I want to do it by myself. I think I want to be on my own at some point, you know. I just do better by not totally by myself, but I think I'm better at policing myself, if for lack of a better term. In conclusion, I just kind of wanted to talk about, you know, how reinventing your career at this time is just, as Katrina has said, it's just about change and letting go of the fear. I am definitely one to let fear sometimes get to me, but if I can do it, I know anybody can do it. You know, it's just telling yourself, hey, you know what? Today I'm going to get up. I'm going to, if you want to put on your makeup and get all the way dressed and go and read a book or read a new article or whatever it is, just keep the motivation going, even when it's hard. That's what I tell people all the time when they're feeling really down, is you kind of have to motivate yourself because no one else is going to do it. Yeah, I'm here when you're down and you're feeling sad, and I can tell you everything wonderful about yourself, but you have to believe it yourself. And so that same attitude has to go into your career. Just looking at what's out there for you to do, if it's a, looking for a certificate, going back to school, whether there are grants, whether there is, maybe you want to become a grant writer. I have a friend who that's what she's going to do now. She's going to become a grant writer for the arts because she was a singer, dancer, and actress and fell down a fire pole. And she can't really do all of that now, right? But she kind of picked herself up and made something different out of her life. And I really admire that about her. She's pretty amazing. And you know, I love everybody. I'm such a love. I love everywhere. But, you know, so just know that there are still, you have a cheerleader that's just like me in your life. You just, you know, reach out to them because they're there and you just don't know until you ask. You got to find them and just keep it moving, especially right now. Adrian, any final thoughts that you had?
We get into our head, I think, you know, either you can have a job that pays the bills or you can live your dream. And I think that it is possible for you to pay your bills while you're living your dream. You know, like that job could be your dream. It's just a matter of and knowing how to get what you want. Like, I'm absolutely living the dream. Like, there's no, and I say it all the time, ad nauseum to people that I work with. But I absolutely love my job. Not just what I actually do day to day. Like, love that totally and completely, you know. But I love, you know, the people that I work with. I love the companies that we get to work with, like all of our different clients are, they're so different and diverse and all that. But, you know, becoming an accountant was kind of a dream, you could say. It's something that I did really want to do. It's not like my first love, I have to say. It's my second thing. I was going to be a dancer. Oh. But then I had several knee injuries and could not do that. So accounting was number two. So it's like that was always going to be what I was going to do. And to be able to do it in a place that is very supportive to, like Katrina was saying, to my whole being, not just what I can produce, that is the dream. And I think that's possible for every, you know, I really do. And it's just, you know what you want, how to get what you want. Know how to ask them.
I agree. And just so that everybody doesn't think that I hate my job, I do not. It's a lot of stress at this time. But as you said, it's about the atmosphere and the management and everything else. I've been in government for 7 years, and I can tell you that this is the most supportive place I've ever worked at. They are very supportive. You make a mistake and they don't go, oh God, again. Like, there's never that. That's not the answer. If you go to a manager and say, I don't know, I don't understand, it's never, ugh, you learn that in the last module. It's always, they're there. They're like, oh, just calm down, because I'm hard on myself and they have to tell me to chill. Like almost every day, like, dude, you're going to be all right. But, and to be honest, I looked at their ratings, and the highest satisfaction for workers at my particular job is the atmosphere. It's not the pay. It's not anything else. It's just the atmosphere. So, you know, as Katrina says, you've got to do your homework when you're looking for. Thank you for joining us here again at Single Mommy Fabulous. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. Until then, stay fabulous.